Book. You know, I entitled my message, Take the Name of Jesus With You, and I asked Oral to sing that song. That's a pretty song, isn't it? Take the Name of Jesus With You. You know, these verses, you know, tells us that we don't just come and worship Jesus Christ two or three times a week. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, you take it with you. You know, take the name of Jesus with you. Why did God make us and created us? You'd say, a lot of people say, well, to serve him. Well, if that was all, you know, he made angels, and really they could do a lot better job than we do and be a lot more obedient than we are if that's all there was to it, just serving the Lord, just to serve him. But, you know, the chief purpose, you know, is God created us for is to worship him, is to worship him. Because God is love, he loves us, and we're to love him back. You know, that's what God wants us to do, is to love him back. I just thank the Lord that he loves me and he loves you. But you know what he wants to do? He wants you to love him back. That's all he asks of us to do, is just love him back. And this is really where the shoe leather in these verses really meets the road. We get down to our daily living and our daily life and think about the worship. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in words or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let us pray. Father, again, we just want to thank you for loving us this day and bringing us to another close. And we're so glad to be honored here tonight that you will always love us. You always have loved us. And God, we hard for us to understand as human beings that sometimes we're so unlovable, but you still keep on loving us. How could we say anything but just thank you, Lord, as we think our life and how that we should love you, and how so many times our life do not reflect the love that you have loved us first, and we don't love you back as we should. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you realize that we're just made out of clay. But Father, we know that you love us, you made us, and we just want to praise the name of Jesus as we take it with us everywhere that we go. And just thank you, Lord, that we're able to praise you here tonight, to worship you and to love you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You know, God is love, and he loves us and wants us to love him, and that's the chief means. Love is called worship. Love is called worship. God created us that, you know, that he might pour his love out to us, and we might pour that love back to him. That's the reason God made us. The greatest thing that we can do is give God our love. Did y'all know that? The greatest thing that we can do is give God our love because he first loved us. You see, if we give him our riches, and if we was rich, it would make him no richer than what he is. If I give him my strength, and if I was strong, he would be no stronger than what he is. If I give him my wisdom, which I don't have much, he would be no wiser than what he is. If I gave God my glory, he would be no glorious than what he is. If I gave him my power, he would be no more powerful than what he is, because he has everything. I really cannot give anything to help him or to add to it. But when we give God our worship, this love really meets the desires of God's heart. When we give him our love and our worship. Because really, worship is love. Now, you know, some people, as you think, you know, that you may not have many talents, and sometimes we get a pity party, we can't do this, and we're not able to do this, and we have a pity party, and we say, well, I'm not rich, I can't give what a lot of people could give. And you may not can. And you say, well, I'm not wise, and I can't do what a lot of people can do. I don't have the talents. You know, you ever say that? I don't have the talent. Well, they got all the talents. I don't have any talents, and I don't have much, but I have one. You have one. Everybody got one. But you see, I just don't have those talents. I don't have the power. I don't have what other people have. But you see, You and me tonight, as born-again Christians, nobody can love God any better than you can. Nobody can love God better than you can. No matter what power, no matter how wisdom, no matter how riches, no matter what talent, no matter what it is that anybody, everybody's got, they can't nobody love God better than you can. You can love God better than anybody can if you want to love God. Now, verse 16 again, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonition one to another, psalms, hymns, singing songs, singing grace to your heart to the Lord, you know. Church service, that sounds like church service, don't it? Worship. Pleasant Hill. But you see, and we have church worship on Sunday, church worship Sunday night, you know, and church worship Wednesday night. But you see, it don't stop. It goes on. See, take the name of Jesus with you. It don't stop. We come to a worship service. You see, our worship do not stop when we go back out of the church. That's not the end of our worship. That's not the end of it. It keeps going. Take the name of Jesus with you, the title. Take the name of Jesus with you. Verse 17, as I read. And whatsoever you do in words and deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Take the worship with you. We don't just come to church to worship. We bring it with us. You bring your worship with you. Real worship involves every area of our life. Did y'all know that? Every area of our life. It's involved in worship, real worship, every day, every place, everywhere. Verse 7 again. And whatsoever you do in words or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Think about this now. Worship, doing everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving Him thanks. Worship gives glory or glorifies the Lord. In our friendship we have with other people, it should give Him glory. In your recreation time, it should give God glory. In your banking, it ought to give God glory in your bank account. The work that we do and the jobs that we do, it ought to give God glory in everything to do. Take this worship with you. Worship all the time. Continuous. Take the name of Jesus Christ with you. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and honor forever and ever. Amen. Things you and I do ought to glorify God all the time. All the time. If God's not being glorified in all things, we're not worshiping. If He's not being glorified in a church gathering or a church setting, if the name of Jesus Christ, if He's not being glorified here tonight or any time that we meet, that's not worship. And all the days of your life, everything, we leave this, everything that we do, like I said, all walks of life, if Jesus Christ is not being glorified in everything that we do, everywhere we go, you're not carrying your worship with you. Take the name of Jesus with you. We need to glorify Him. If He's not, we're not worshiping. People say, well, I don't have to come to church. I can worship God on the riverbanks or in the river. Well, you might can, but do you glorify God? If you're glorifying God, you're worshiping God everywhere you go. Does it bring glory to the name of Jesus no matter what we're doing on the riverbanks or the top of the mountains or no matter where we're at? Is that bringing glory to the name of Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, Therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to glory God. There's a lot of things we do and don't do. A lot of things in the Bible we don't know for sure. Don't tell us, you know, absolutely, thou shall not. It's not in the Bible. I'm not getting on the smokers now. But it's not in the Bible, thou shalt not smoke, is it? You don't see that in the Bible, thou shalt not smoke. You know, we know that we are the temple, but you see, it's not in the Bible, thou shalt not watch HBO on television. That's not in the Bible either, is it? You know, thou shalt not have a can of beer, as some places and preachers and churches think it's all out for social drinking. Because thou shalt not, they don't say that. Alcohol of any kind. I'll do that. But when we do the things we do, does that bring glory to the name of Jesus? You don't have to have thou shalt not. Just ask yourself this question. When I do this, will it bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 4:11 says that God in all things may be glorified. So we don't just come to church to worship, then turn it off when we leave. We carry it with us. Not one day belongs to the Lord, like on Sunday, say that's the Lord's day, it does. But every day belongs to the Lord. Not just one day. You see, you know our life and our day is not cut up like a pie, you know, in section. You just take out a piece of pie and hand it to the Lord and say, here, Lord, here's your piece of pie, and the rest belongs to me. The whole pie belongs to the Lord. The whole pie belongs to the Lord. You know, we do this in our tithing. You know, you start at 10% of your income. And you go from there, wherever God leads you to go from there, but you start with 10%. You say, well, 10% belongs to the Lord. Oh, no. No, it don't. That just shows you that the rest of the 90% belongs to Him also. Everything you got belongs to the Lord. When you give, you tithe, and you're just telling God, well, it's all yours, you know. And I guarantee you one thing, and I guarantee you something that works. He says, you know what? You try and you test me in Malachi 3:10. He says, you prove, you try, you test me. I can tell you one thing. He'll take that 90% or 85% or whatever you tithe that's left, and He'll make it go further than you can without 100%. I can tell you that works. Tested and proved, that works. He said, try me and test me and prove me. I guarantee you, He'll take the rest, whatever it might be, and He'll carry it further. Because, you see, all of it belongs to Him. It ain't just 10%. It's all of it belongs to the Lord. And we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and not only those tithe that you belong to give God, but every penny that God trusted you in this life also is going to be judged. All of it. All of it. 100%. Everything. Not only that, every sermon that I preach, Sunday school teachers, every time that you teach a class, you singers and songers, every time that you sing, our home life, our business life, our recreation, our hobbies. It says in verse 17, whatsoever you do in words and deeds, you do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father. All of it should bring glory to the name of the Lord. There's no time in life, it's just part of our life is sacred to God, our whole life, because we've been bought with a price. Our whole life is sacred to God. Every area, every moment, everything. This gets down to the real life, real things. Many times, as you know, everybody used to get the Reader's Digest, you know, the Reader's Digest. And always in the Reader's Digest, there's always a chapter on some type of religion or spiritual thing in that chapter. But you see, that chapter was just whatever that chapter was. It didn't filtrate to the rest of the magazine. He just stayed in that one chapter. You know, a lot of people does that. They come to church on Sunday, and that's just one chapter. That's that religious one chapter. And it don't infiltrate the rest of our life. You see, we don't have a chapter that belongs to the Lord. Our whole life belongs to the Lord. Very, very important to think about this. Just natural being to be supernatural should be natural living, you know. Now, that's my introduction. I got to get going now. That's my introduction. Now, what we do, what we don't do, is that consistent with the personality of Jesus Christ? This really gets to you, you know. It really got to me. Can I assign Jesus' name to it on everything I do? It says everything that we do, you know, and words are indeed doing the name of the Lord. Can I assign the Lord's name, or can you assign the Lord's name to everything that you do this past week? Say from Sunday up to today, can you sign your name on everything that you've done, words you've said, and everything you've done up to this day? Can you sign Jesus' name to it? Woo. The Bible is not a rule book. It's a guidebook. It is a principle. It's not really a book on laws, as I told you before. If it was a book on laws, it would take tractor trailer probably or more to put the book in it to tote it around if it had to cover every law they was. And every generation it changes. You know, there's not no laws. It's principles. Now, we have some laws, but it's mostly on principles. You won't find there in a law in there. You're not supposed to watch R-rated movies or HBO. You don't find that, you know, because it's not a rule. Rules are for kids. Rules for kids. We're supposed to be adults and grown, you know. We're supposed to be. You know, when your kids was coming along, that you maybe had a babysitter when you and your wife went off, and maybe you had a babysitter, and then after a while, they grew up that, you know what, they was old enough that you didn't need that babysitter, and you're going to leave them by themselves for a little while, run off. You say, all right, now, we're going to be gone for a little while. Don't play with matches, and maybe don't let strangers in, or you might give them some do's and don'ts till you get back, and they just little things. That was laws, and that's rule that you give them when they were small and immature. But you don't do that way when they get 20 and 30 and 35 years old. Y'all know it? It won't work. You don't give them rules. Why? Because they have matured. They're grown. So it's not the rules. It's rules for kids. You see, he's talking to us by principles. We're mature. You can't say the do's and the don'ts when they ever get over. But what the do's and don'ts are like, are they consistent with the personality of Jesus Christ? Can I assign his name? And would it bring glory to everything I've done this past week? That should make you ashamed of ourselves, hadn't it? Every word we spoke, everything we've done, would it really bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ? Now, a lot of times I had a lot of people ask me all kind of things about habits and should I do this and should I do that? Lord of mercy, you know, so many times, you know, the habit, this bad, should I do this, should I not do this, the pleasure we do, is it wrong to go here, is it wrong to go there, should I associate with this person, should I go there, you know, my investment is wrong to invest this or wrong to invest that, you know, is it right or is it wrong? You know, I've been asked a lot of times, you know, and I know that people, is it right or wrong? You have maybe some questions, should I do this, should I do that, is this right or this wrong, should I do this, and really you can't really find thou shalt not in there. But it's so easy to find out whether if it's right or if it's wrong. And that's so easy. Could you sign Jesus' name to it? Any questions you might have, whether it be right or whether it's wrong, it's easy to answer. Could you sign Jesus Christ's name to it? And that'll answer it every time. Every time. Verse 17, whatsoever you do in words or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father. Think we can do and just all that we can be for in Jesus Christ. And everything we got involved in this week, really, is it consistent with the personality of Jesus Christ? Would it bring glory to Jesus Christ? Does it claim the power of Jesus Christ? Really, everything we do and everything we need to do, does it really claim the power of Jesus Christ? You know, names stand for something. Names stand for something. There's power and authority in the name. You know what Jesus Christ said in John 14:14? If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The name's power and the name's authority. But be very careful what he says here and listen. Does not say, ask anything in my name, then I'll give you the power to do that. It does not say that he'll give you the power to do that. Just ask anything in my name, anything you can sign my name to, and I'll give you the power to do it. It don't say that. What does it say again? If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus will do it. Because some people think, well, man, I ask anything in his name, man, I got the power. No, he says, I will do it. He will do it through you. Anything that you can sign his name on, he says, I will do it. The power is in the name of Jesus Christ. Luke 10:17 says, you know, he sent his disciples out, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Well, you know, in the King James Version, always you see if devils, plural, it's there. It's talking about demons because there are only one devil. But there are many demons. It's talking about even the demons, you see, they're subject to us. But see, because of that name. Now, we practice this all the time in our everyday life. I would say that most of us has a checking account. And, you know, that checking account, if you write a check and sign your name to it and you give it to somebody, they carry it down to the bank and You know, the bank looks at it, got your name on it, got your signature on it, and you're giving that bank authority with your name to give this person so much money. That's the authority that you give in your name. You're giving that bank authority to do that. Same thing in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if the check bounces, they don't put the check in jail. They put you in jail because your name is represented there on that check. It's the name of Jesus Christ. His name is represented there, and he gives authority by the power of that name. You know, when school's in, when you go up to the Black Shear of a morning, you see there that there's a man or woman out there with a police uniform on there at Black Shear High School, and he's out there stopping people. I was there one morning, a little old lady there, she weighed about 140 pounds, looked like, and there come a tractor trailer, truck, 18-wheeler. You know what she done? A 150-pound lady stopped the 18-wheeler. You know how she done it? Stop in the name of the law. The name of that authority. She had that authority. Not only that 18-wheeler stopped, but a whole pack of cars back of that stopped. Why? Because that 118-pound person, skin and bones, authorized the power of the name of the law to stop those vehicles. And Jesus Christ has authorized his name. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Things that we can do in the name of the Jesus Christ. Well, one of the things it says, wives are to submit themselves to their own husbands. I want Joyce to really listen to this. In verse 18, wives, submit yourself to your own husband, and it is fit in the Lord. In the name of the Lord. When it's talking about here, it's not talking about slavery. In this word there, submit, it means to rank under. It's a military word. In the military word, you know, we have generals and we have majors and you know, have captains. We have sergeant. We had the enlisted men. We have privates. You know, and they're not none of them superior to the other. None of them. It's just a chain of command. A chain of line that's authorized by responsibility. A private and a general has the same worth, but the difference in the rank. In the Bible, it says man and wife were all equal in the Lord. In fact, Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. You're all in one in Christ. We're all equal in the Lord. Wife, submit. That word is submit means one equally, volunteer, places him or her under the authority that's equal that God might get the glory. That God might get the glory. Volunteer to place herself under, just like it would be in military. You place yourself under another. No matter what rank it is, always somebody higher than you just about it. That God might get the glory. Husbands are to love their wives. Verse 19. Husband, love your wife and be not bitter against them. Love. When I looked that word up, love, you know, Joel said, you need to spend a long time on that verse. It's not speaking there of really a romance love. Also, that is necessary, and also it certainly is, but it's talking about that love there, agape love. Agape love. A sacrificial love. A serving love. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, how can I love Joyce as Jesus Christ loved the church? I can't. I can't. The only way is let Jesus do it in me and through me. John 14:14 again, ask anything in my name and then I will do it. It's a command, love your wife. Jesus in me That is, and the reason I love Joyce with the agape love, it's the Jesus in me teaching me and showing me that agape love, a sacrificial love, because I can't do it. Mankind cannot do this. That's one of the reasons that 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteous with unrighteous, and what communion have light with darkness? Because if one is lost and one is saved, the one that's lost cannot have the agape love for the other one. But all that only comes through Jesus Christ. It only comes through a relationship of being saved. And if you don't have both of them saved, then you don't have that agape love, that sacrificial love, if both of them loving one another. Because we can't do it as human beings. We can't love that type of love unless Jesus Christ loves through us. And it's just not in that area, it's in every area of our life. Children are to obey their parents. Now that's a good one, isn't it? Children are to obey their parents. And verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. You know, teach them to obey in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, it's hard work raising children, isn't it? It is hard work. Could you sign your name on everything you told your children to do and not to do? Could you sign your name on everything in the way we have taught our children? Boy, I tell you, I couldn't. I'm telling you. Children are to obey their parents. You know, that brings, when children obey the parents, you know, that brings glory to the Lord. When we teach our children to obey the parents, it really brings glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Be good parents in the name of Jesus Christ. In verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That word father there really means parents. It's for the mother and the father. And I could just stop right there and say, hey, have you ever made any mistakes raising your children? Has anybody ever made any mistakes raising their children? Because I tell you, that'll get you every time. Be good parents in the name of the Lord. I've messed up real bad several times. I'll tell you, I made a lot of mistakes. I'd really like to go back and do it again, knowing what I know now. But you know, you can't go backwards. You just got to go forward. But I sure made some mistakes by not going by what God said in His Word. It's a great book on principles of how to raise children. You can get all the books you want to and raise kids, but the Bible is the best way. Oh, Lord, I just keep going on, you know. Be good parents, you know. Don't provoke them, your children, to anger. Fathers, it's just talking about mothers and fathers. And then serve honestly in the workplaces. Verse 22 and on. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service, as man pleases, but in singleness of hearts, fearing God. Whatsoever you do a healthy, hearty, I mean, as in the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do in the workplace, our whole life, I said, take the name of Jesus with you. Now, a lot of us retire. We don't have to go to a job anymore. A lot of us do. But you see, when we do go, and have been, I tell you, the life that we did and the job we worked, it tells us about, you know, the people sees us, and I know that I looked at other people and I was lost, and there are people's looking at you and watching you, and they're looking to see Jesus in you. And everything you do is we take the name of Jesus Christ with you, you know, and everything we do is just consistent with the personality of Jesus Christ. Can I sign His name to it? Does it really bring the power that I need to do this in the name of Jesus Christ? And then, you know, does it bring the praise, and it does circulate all my life together in praising God? Everything we do, you know, does it bring honor to Jesus Christ? I just thinking, you know, everything I do in my life, does it really bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ? No, it don't. Everything that you do in your life, does it bring glory to the Lord? Everything you've done this past week, does it bring glory to the Lord? Done, and things you hadn't done, does it bring glory to the Lord? Every word you speak, everything, does it bring glory? Has it brought glory to the Lord? Because you see, the reputation of Jesus Christ is at stake in our life. Did y'all know that? Because the only Jesus this world knows is a Jesus in you. The Jesus in you. Because Christians is the visible part of the invisible Christ. Christians are the visible part of the invisible Christ. A lot of times, and I'm going to quit early tonight, a lot of times you see maybe these fish on the cars as an emblem, and you know that means for soul winning, and sometimes there's a lot of bumper stickers on cars about anything about Christian. But you see, if we're not soul winners, we ought to take that fish off the car. No matter what you have on that bumper sticker, if we don't drive right, we ought to take it off the car. You see, our advertisement, it ought to be equal to how we praise Jesus Christ in everything we do. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching in moderation one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. When we leave here this day from now till we meet again, well, everything that you do and I do, will it bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ? Every word, every place, everything? Probably not. Everything you've done in the past from last Sunday up to today, has that brought glory to the name of Jesus Christ? Can you really say that? Can we really say everything I've done, all the words I spoke, has brought glory to Jesus Christ, has signed his name to everything that I've done? I doubt we could any of us say that, could we? Any of us? But it says for us to take the name of Jesus with you, not just here on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, if we make it that regular. But it's every day, every hour, as we worship all week long, every day, everywhere we go, all of our life. It's not just a piece of pie that we give Christ and the rest of that pie belongs to us. He wants the whole pie. Because he bought it with a price, and the price is his precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would anybody like to praise or anybody say anything tonight? I got a minute or two extra tonight if you'd like to say something. Anybody? 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 Amen. Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to love Jesus Christ here in this setting.